Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Does defense win championships or not? Is defense something you need to win a Super Bowl? If you're a Houston Texans fan, I think you better hope not. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs, after being an overtime away from making it to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, they focused on the defense, and their defense improved. They used assets on the defense. They traded for Frank Clark. They brought in the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. They brought in some linebackers. They drafted guys, and their defense improved. Yesterday, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs lock up Chris Jones for four more years to keep improving on that defense that was good enough to win a Super Bowl. Baltimore, the other prime team, the other elite team in the AFC, 14-2 last season. They brought in one of the most respected defensive linemen in the league in Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell, now a member of the Baltimore Ravens, so they improved their defense. The Indianapolis Colts, they traded a first-round pick for DeForest Buckner, brought in some other guys on defense, and invested assets on that side of the ball. Yesterday, Myles Garrett, the Cleveland Browns, a team looking to take that next step. They made him the highest-paid defensive player in the NFL. You can stay in that division. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they traded a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick last year from the Miami Dolphins. He was an all-pro. Jadeveon Clowney, he's still available. We don't know if the Tennessee Titans are going to add Jadeveon Clowney. I mention all this, John Lopez, because meanwhile, here in Houston, with the Houston Texans, a team that was dead last year in third down defense, a team that was dead last in red zone defense, a team that ended up firing their defensive coordinator, the last couple years, they've lost Jadeveon Clowney, and they've lost DJ Reader, who's now the highest paid nose guard in the NFL. While other teams, elite teams in the NFL, that already, a couple of them already have better offenses than the Texans, other teams in the NFL are improving their defense significantly, while the Texans' biggest acquisitions on that side of the rock this year are Ross Blacklock paying Bradley Roby, and then yeah. Eric Murray, who we don't even know. I don't know what to make of this, but I do know that the Texans' defense is bringing a knife to a gunfight when it comes to the other teams in the AFC that they're going to be competing with to take that next step to make the playoffs and to have success in 2020.
You know, you started this by saying, does defense win championships? And I think that's the key line. Does defense win in the NFL? Every rule, every element of NFL football today is catered to the offense, right? I mean, everything they do, with very few exceptions, you know, helps the offense score points. So, like, the short answer for me is, if you just load up, you know, financially and otherwise, in terms of draft equity and free agent money, et cetera, on the defensive side, yeah, you're probably going to be pretty good defensively. But the offense is still going to have a lot of advantages over you. So the way I put it in today's NFL, you know, if you go back to even 2003, you know, that might have been the formula to win a championship in the NFL. These days, it's just not. What you need these days on defense, and I think these general managers are recognizing it, are clutch playmakers, ball hawks, you know, individual greatness. Because what you have to do to win championships in a league where people are scoring 25, 35, 40 points, in the case of the Chiefs, more than 40 points just about every time they step on the field, is just clutch plays. You need stops. You need a very clutch stop. That's why guys like Tyrann Mathieu are still around. You know, J.D. Clowney may not be filling up the stat sheet, but he makes very key clutch plays. You know, you don't see J.J. Watt sometimes for 7, 8, 9, 10 plays in a row. You don't really notice him. And then all of a sudden he makes two big plays that turn the game. The difference between today's NFL, and I'll use 2003 again as an example, is back then you could play solid defense, shut down a team. You can't shut down teams anymore. You need key playmakers. So that's why Chris Jones was so important. That's why Ngakoue is going to be such an important landing for anybody. And that's especially why Myles Garrett got paid. What did he get, 125? I mean, it was incredible. Because I think general managers and coaches now know, look, we're not going to stop guys. We're not going to be we're not going to stonewall people. But if we could have some key, clutch, big-time playmakers, all we need is one or two stops in today's NFL and we'll win the game.
Ocho on the text line, 713-572-4610, brings up what you brought up, that, you know, offense wins championships now. And I'm not saying I disagree with that. I'm just saying, why is it that the most respected front office guys around the league, and I'm talking about the Kansas City Chiefs last year bringing in Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, and all the guys they did on defense, and the Baltimore Ravens even adding Earl Thomas and then adding Calais Campbell this offseason, then Chris Ballard. I mean, my gosh, you want to talk about a love fest. That agent study from The Athletic in which agents were interviewed, they couldn't stop gushing about him. He's trading first-round picks for premier defensive linemen, while the Texans, who last year, could I interest you in some stats?
You know you can.
They were 19th in the league in points per game defensively. They were 28th in yards per game. They were 29th in passing yards per game. They were 27th in the league in most sacks. They were 16th in forced turnovers. They were 9th against the run, but DJ Reader was a big part of that. And they were dead last, as I said, in red zone and third down defense. That's not a recipe for success. And if you're not going to bring in marquee assets or use marquee assets on the defense, then the offense is going to have to carry the load. Like Kansas City did before they made these changes, they were able, with Pat Mahomes and their offense, to put themselves in position to where they easily could have made the Super Bowl had there not been a phantom roughing the passer on Tom Brady and an offsides call. So if this is the case, and if these other teams have better defenses, the question has to be asked, do the Texans have an offense that can carry this team above and to overcome the weaknesses they have on defense? That's the problem. And that's why when we talk about Deshaun Watson, a lot of people get frustrated with the love fest over Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. As great as Pat Mahomes is, he has to do less. Deshaun Watson, if you want to get to the goal, the AFC championship or bust mentality that John Lopez has, the offense is going to have to do even more than Pat Mahomes and even Lamar Jackson have to do. That's why when you pay David Johnson $10 million and you pay Randall Cobb $7 million and you let guys like DJ Reader walk away and you let guys like Jadeveon Clowney walk away, I mean, that's what's going to prevent you from taking that next step, John. That's what's going to happen unless this offense just can all of a sudden carry the defense.
But see, I'm going to disagree a little bit and disagree with Ocho a little bit, because offense gets you to the brink of championships. Offense gets you, you know, where you want to be in terms of, like, we have a chance to win a championship. But it goes back to those big plays. I don't really care anymore about defensive yards per game, about a lot of these defensive stats. I want to know tackles for loss. I want to know sacks. And I want to know pass breakups. See, passes defense, to me, are huge because that's that third down stop. That's that key play. Obviously, sacks and tackles for loss speak for themselves. You know who led the league in tackles for loss last year? It might surprise you. The Buffalo Bills. That's how they got good. That's how they stayed in games. You know who was at the top in passes defensed? It was the New England Patriots. That's how they were good despite Tom Brady. And so what I'm saying is it's not so much, you know, just stifle an offense because you're not going to. It's just not going to happen. It's make the key plays on defense. Yes, the Chiefs got to the Super Bowl and had a chance to win the Super Bowl and ultimately won it with the offense doing so much. But they had to have those key plays, too, on defense. And that's the difference between today's NFL and in the past.
I mean, just look at it, dude. Like, look at the elite teams in the AFC and what they've added. Let's just use the two-year window of King Bill O'Brien as GM. Let's just look at it. Like, let's just take a step back and look at it, because all three teams have quarterbacks that you want to build your franchise around: Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and Pat Mahomes. Do you agree with that? Like, all three of those guys you want. Those are some of the first names you mentioned. Okay, Kansas City, Tyrann Mathieu 2 years ago. They used him perfectly. He looked great.
Yeah.
Frank Clark, you used a first-round pick. You brought him in. You already had Chris Jones. You drafted some other guys, but you brought in two marquee type of players. Baltimore, Earl Thomas, an all-decade team type safety. You brought him in Baltimore last season. And then you bring in Calais Campbell, one of the better defensive tackles in the last few years. Texans have brought in the last couple years, Clowney and Reeder have left. They've brought in, what, Jacob Martin, Eric right. Murray, Bradley Roby to be a number one corner? I mean, look, man, right. like we can sit here and we can talk about the offense and we can talk about Deshaun Watson getting to that situation. If your defense is bringing a plastic knife to an AK-47 gunfight, then Deshaun Watson's going to have to do more than those guys. And I don't think that's exactly realistic to expect.
Exactly. You're speaking my language. You're talking about exactly what I'm talking about, because, yeah, nobody's going to stop anybody. Just like I said, stifle them. But who on the Texans can make that key game-changing stop or play? JJ. But
man,
who knows where,
like,
JJ?
At
but
what
who knows?
Point, at what point yeah, is but it unfair to JJ expect is? That from him? Like, at what point yeah, is it unfair but, to expect that from him?
Who other than, and I hate to say it because we love the dude, but who other than an aging JJ Watt can you count on to say, you know what, it's cutting time right now. We're down 38-35. You know, Deshaun's been playing out of his skull. There's 5 minutes left. They have the ball. We need a sack. We need a TFL. We need a pass breakup. We need an interception. Who's going to make that play outside of the aging J.J. Watt? Justin Reed.
You got any crickets, Figgy? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
probably Justin Reed was the only other one.
I mean, am I going to ask Ross Blacklock to do that? I don't know. It just seems like the D is stiffening everywhere, John, except here. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. The OG, not John Lopez, the OG Dusty Baker, going to give us a little update on the Stros 9 days away from the start of the season next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Are you ready? For toothpicks, sweatbands, there will be. No banging on trash cans, good, because of cheating. I've never been a big fan. Dusty, don't call me Rusty Baker. He worked at Candlestick at the Bon Kent Peacemaker. With Derek Lowe, saltier than your kitchen salt shaker. I wanted Bannister till I started thinking. With his smooth swag, Dusty's the guy to bring home the bacon. You don't have to lean on Strami and Abressi Analytics, and in every town they visit, he'll be the right guy to coolly quell the critics. Let me tell you how excited that I am. Beelboob was named the Texas GM. Ugh. See you at the Roughnecks game, Pilgrims.
There we go. Dusty Baker, the guy for the job. 9 days until the Houston Astros begin their season. It is lovely, 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 lovely to see the Astros back on the field today. No inter-squad stuff. They're going to do some live BP, but no inter-squad stuff for the Houston Astros. George Springer, the latest Astro to have to sit out because of tests, taking some time to arrive. Here is the OG, Dusty Baker, talking about not having George Springer yesterday. And it's a back and forth with Chandler Rome about the frustration early in the process of such things happening.
Well, you know, we had a couple guys here that were, you know, their testing come back.
Is that how frustrating is that this has happened again after Alex had his workout last week?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little frustrating, but I mean, you know that they're trying to get the you know, iron the wrinkles out of this and get the bugs out of this whole system. And so I'm just hoping that they get it worked out before we start the season. You know, we got a few days to try to get this ironed out.
They do. It's just a whole different world. I mean, I'm stating the obvious here. I know that, but we can't expect everything every day to go as planned. Not in our lives, certainly not in the lives of professional athletes when they're trying to make sure that everybody's healthy.
Well, I mean, is it kind of a good look for MLB in that, yes, it's taking time, but they're not rushing the process. They're making sure everything's going. So, I mean, I know the MLB's been an easy target, and Rob Manfred's probably the biggest jamoke that I've ever seen. I think he's a complete jackass. But, I mean, if it takes time. If the results aren't there, the results aren't there. So it might mean that sometimes when the Houston Astros are playing, you're expecting to see Justin Verlander when you turn on AT&T Sportsnet, and instead his test hasn't been in, so they're not going to put him out there. But I'm sure it's something that's going to happen, but it does at least seem like baseball is erring on the side of caution, and that's something that the Astros are going to have to deal with, among other things. Verlander and McCullers, they've looked good early on. Verlander threw five more innings yesterday. This was about a week after he had the three innings of no-hit ball in the four-inning exhibition game. Here's the OG DB talking about McCullers and Verlander.
Competitive nature can take you so far, but the fact is that they're, you know, one went 78 pitches of quality. No, I think 73 pitches of quality. McCullers and Verlander went 67 pitches, and that's pretty good, and they went five innings. That's very encouraging. You know, I mean, they're ahead of probably the pace of most pitchers at this time.
So you have the top of the rotation. Zach Greinke also. Brent Strom, we heard earlier, feeling good about the rotation. But what about the guy that's going to close the door, OG, Roberto Osuna? Looks a little heavy to me. Looks a little heavy. Now, I'm not saying it's fat. It could be muscle.
He's not fat. Well, I mean, he's big.
I don't know. I haven't gotten to the bottom of this, but Roberto Osuna looks a little heavier. He looks like he's got some of that quarantine hair. He grew the hair out a little bit. Here's Dusty talking about his closer, Roberto Osuna.
Well, you know, he got here late. It was very encouraging to see him long tossing today because, I mean, he can long toss any guy that we have here. And to see him running, so you know, we don't want to get him on the mound any sooner than he's ready. And I'm hoping within the next couple of days that he'll you know, have a bullpen session first, and then throw the hitters after that.
I gotta be honest, I'm not real optimistic on Osuna right now.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to get there, but when you look at him. And when you hear the incredibly optimistic Brent Strom talk about him, as we have that, and then Dusty, you know, trying to frame it in the right way, nobody's exactly, you know, raving about how he's playing right now. And not that they don't think he'll get there, because I think it's obvious that Dusty does think he'll get there. But I don't think he's sure not where Verlander is. He's sure not where Greinke is.
Well, I mean, they're talking about long toss with Osuna, and they're talking about actual work on the mound with the other guys.
Exactly. So, you know, combine, you know, how he came in, looks a little big. Now, as you said, we could be wrong. He could just look like, you know, freaking Cam Newton underneath, you know, but
Definitely not that. I can confirm. He's not Cam Newton under there.
And that, you know, the tactically, he's not at the same place in terms of preparation as other pitchers. And they're not exactly like raving about, you know, where he is. So I'm in full wait. I'm really feeling good about this pitching staff, even some of the young guys after hearing Brent Strom. But I'm in wait and see mode, full wait and see mode on Osuna.
Yeah, we'll see with Osuna. I mean, last year there were times where he was one of the best in the league, and then there were times where, good Lord.
That guy is awesome. He is an awesome, awesome.
Now that guy, Ryan Pressly, who Mike Meltzer liked, he's supposedly looking a little better. He's trying to get back as well. But it was a roller coaster ride with Osuna last year. I think that's something to keep an eye on because, let's be honest, there are a lot of kicks to the junk that we suffer in sports. Game-winning field goals, heartbreaking penalties, buzzer beaters. I mean, we've gotten a taste of that in H-Town. Blown saves are the ultimate kick to the junk. And when each game counts with a 60-game season 2.7 times more than what they would usually count in the traditional blown save, You go through a tough stretch where you're blowing a few saves. That's the equivalent of damn near 10 games, J-Lo. I mean, three blown saves is the same as 10 in this format.
Well, let me put it this way. How would you feel if Roberto Osuna, in a three-game series against whomever, blew the save in all three games? You'd be in panic mode, right? Because one game right now is essentially that. You know, if he blows a save in one game, that's like blowing a save in a three-game series. So, yeah, you need him more than just about anybody.
And you need that eighth unlock too. You had Will Harris last year who was holding down the seventh. I know most recent memories of Will Harris aren't very good. He was your best. He was your most consistent reliever over the course of the season before he hit that wall and A.J. Hinch decided he was going to try to get his arm cut off and amputated at the end of the season. But if Presley and Osuna are anything close to what they were last year, it'll at least give you a cup to where you don't have to suffer those kicks in the junk that I was talking about. I want to go back in time, speaking of Ryan Presley, and I just want to hear the voice of Mike Meltzer, because sometimes it's a soothing voice when you hear Mike Meltzer. We heard Brent Strom gloat about all the Astros pitchers. Nobody gloats like Mike Meltzer randomly shouting out Ryan Presley.
Is there any athletes in this city who does their job better, who gets less fanfare than Ryan Presley? That guy is awesome. He is an awesome, awesome, the most underappreciated, excellent athlete in this city. That is how...
Dude, first of all, who the hell gets fanfare as an eighth-inning guy? Like, show
Nobody.
Me how many jerseys are getting sold of eighth-inning guys. I know a lot of people don't have his jersey and he doesn't get fanfare, but that Ryan Presley is awesome.
Nobody grows up, you know, hey, Billy, what kind of baseball player would you like to be when you grow up? Well, I'd like to be an eighth-inning pitcher. Nobody – you either want to be a starter – a position player, a home run hitter, you know, a stolen base guy. You want to be a closer. Has anyone ever grown up, you know, hoping and dreaming, yeah, I want to pitch the eighth, man. I want to be a bridge pitcher. I want to hold it down.
And has a kid ever gone to his dad says, all right, son, we're going to go to the souvenir shop. I'm going to let you get a jersey or a shirzy.
Anyone you want.
Now, would you like Correa? Would you like Bregman? Would you like Altuve? How about George Springer? Oh, Michael Brantley. They just got those in stock. Oh, there's a Verlander, and there's a Gerrit Cole. Daddy, I want the Ryan Presley jersey.
That guy is awesome. He is an awesome, awesome, the most underappreciated, excellent athlete in this city. That is how
excellent.
I would go with the Correa jersey. I want to hear Dusty Baker talking about Carlos Correa, the Sparkle Prince. This is what Dusty had to say about Correa.
He's worked hard. I mean, the whole time I had talked to him when we were out, he swore he was working. I mean, you could tell. I mean, you know, he looks like he's in great shape. He's in a great frame of mind. I mean, I'm impressed with him. Like I said, I hadn't seen him play that much because the times that I think we came in to play you guys, I think he was on the disabled list. You know, he's certainly a talent. You know, we're much better with him on the field.
There you go. Basically told him to stay healthy. Keep your ass in the lineup, Sparkle Prince.
I have real high hopes, probably higher hopes for Carlos Correa than anybody on the team.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to get out of Bregman. He's already doing it even in the intra-squad games. We know how good and what kind of runs Correa has been on. But I have high hopes, like hopes as in this is going to be a 60-game torrential tear that Correa is going to be on.
I like what you're selling right there. Astros in action. In 9 days, we're going to hear from Lance McCullers and Justin Verlander in the hits. Also, the Texans make a cut, a Texans player gets arrested, and an Astro bails on the 2020 season. Stacked edition of the hits next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, Kenny Stills, Texans wide receiver, arrested last night at about midnight, 11:36 local time. He was arrested in Louisville, faced a felony charge after participating in a protest at the home of Kentucky's attorney general. He was one of 87 people arrested after marching to the home of Kentucky attorney general Daniel Cameron as part of a protest over the death of Breonna Taylor. Louisville police spokesperson Lamont Washington told local media outlets that all the protesters, including Stills, were given a chance to leave Cameron's home before being arrested. We all know what happened with Breonna Taylor. People are calling for the officers to be arrested out there in Louisville. Kenny Stills has been he's out. He's out on bail. But an arrest for a Houston Texan wide receiver, Kenny Stills, last night, J-Lo.
Yeah, a lot of different levels here. As you just pointed out, Aaron Wilson and others reporting, Kenny Stills has been processed. He's out of jail. His court date has been assigned to October 8th, which could be interesting if you're a Texans fan in terms of his availability. October 8th is going to fall on a Thursday, so that is a work day on a regular Texans work week. So there's that. Now, as far as what happened itself, we have to be clear on I want to be clear on a couple of things. Kenny Stills was and 86 others, by the way, were told to leave. They should have left. We know that. They didn't. They were arrested. It's a felony charge. This is a felony, and that is to be taken very seriously. He's going to, if convicted, pay the consequences that he should. I have a hunch that the charges will probably be reduced to a misdemeanor. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I think sometimes these things can be done, especially with a big group like that. So clearly, he was in the wrong, told to leave with the others. They didn't. They were arrested. They were on somebody's private property. That's bad, and it's a bad decision. I'm just here to tell you, I don't really feel outrage about this. Somebody said earlier, would you feel outrage if he wasn't a Texan? No, because I think, there is kind of like a graph, a color chart, if you will, of severity in felonies, just like there are in misdemeanors. I mean, if you roll through a stop sign, is that the same as going 105 miles an hour on a highway, and darting inside and out of traffic? No, it's not. The charges are similar. There are felonies that are armed robbery there, and this is a felony of being, told not to leave and not leaving, etc. So I understand why he did it. I think everybody understands, the environment in which we're living. I don't really have a problem with it, but it was a bad decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, that he wants justice. He feels like the cops involved should be brought to justice. That's what Kenny Stills wants. That's what he feels. But you also just can't show up to someone's house at 11:36
right.
p.m., be exactly. asked to leave, and then refuse to leave without consequence. I mean, that's not really the ideal situation. Is there some stuff that needs to change? Should processes be sped up? Yes. But a lot of times the point of protesting is to, number one, get your message across, and number two, you're going to push the limits somewhat, hopefully not too much. And when someone tells you to leave someone's house in a residential area at 11:36 and you say no, the consequence, more times than not, is you get arrested. So all of this can be connected. I get what the overlying motive is, but I don't think comparing, the justice system to someone refusing to leave a house is a fair comparison. I'm not seeing the comparison here. I think Kenny Stills got the consequence that he probably knew was coming, and the justice system needs to be fixed.
Well, and here's another thing, okay? Sometimes these groups like this want to get arrested, so to speak. It's like, why do people say, why do they kneel in the middle of a football game? Because more people notice. Because the whole idea of a protest is to get your protest seen and heard. So, I mean, I'm not saying they were expecting felony charges, but that... Sometimes you do these protests so people in the middle of a street all the way to the front, and in this case, unfortunately, onto the property of someone, that because you need people and you want those eyes on you, so the reason for the protest gets heard a little more clearly.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, I mean, this, if the goal is to bring attention, you know, Kenny Stills, who's going to make $7 million this year, who's been a law-abiding citizen, done a lot of work off of the field, then Kenny Stills can probably take this one on the chin, and then there's more attention now to the cause. So assuming that, you know, the charges do get minimized or whatever, the attention was brought, the consequence of, you know, just showing up to someone's house is there, and then, you know, hopefully justice comes through, justice prevails, and the process gets right. I mean, that's really the main goal, is that you want the process to get right, but I just don't think a precedent of just showing up at people's cribs is a good one to be setting in these types of situations. I think tweaking the system, and maybe this will help tweak the system, but I just don't know if showing up to someone's house with 90 people, 86, whatever it was, is,
yeah.
Man, it's interesting. Kenny Stills is out. He's putting out videos. We'll give you the latest at sportsradio610.com. James Palmer, one of the best media types at NFL Network, he joined in the outrage over Deshaun Watson's Madden rating. I can't believe how much anger this is generating.
Crazy.
Around Houston. But James Palmer yesterday on Twitter said, at Deshaun Watson's rating of 86 in Madden, the more I think about it, the more it makes me upset. Watson makes superhuman plays, has arguably the best deep ball in the game, and those closest to him say he's an elite decision maker and believe he'll complete 70% of his passes this year. They might need to put this thing on a bigger platform with the amount of attention that Madden
televise
generates.
It.
They might need to treat this like the NFL draft and have like a 4-day process. I haven't seen this much outrage about the Texans since they blew that 24-0 lead to the Chiefs the other day.
Okay, a couple things. James Palmer is absolutely one of my favorite guys in the NFL. Just a good dude. He just is, and he worked hard and all that. But why are we doing this? Why are we talking about Madden ratings? I mean, it's one thing if you're reporting that Deshaun Watson or anyone is upset about their Madden rating. But what does it – why are you like, I'm outraged? His Madden – his video game rating is low to me. Who cares?
The players do. It's a big deal,
no,
man.
I get the play. No, I get the players.
It's a big deal.
I understand. I'm talking about like people like James or you or me or whomever – you know, all of a sudden saying that we're outraged over someone's game rating? What?
Yeah, he really needed to sit on that one, too. That's the weird thing, is he said, as James Palmer said, the more I think about it. Like, he just had to sit on it. Like, he couldn't sleep about it. Like, he couldn't sleep, and then he just realized enough is enough, and he just had to sound off.
I mean, I'd look. If I were a player, I'd look. Hey, what am I rated this year? Oh, 99. Cool. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, if it was me, I'd do. But, like, from afar... You're saying that? Like, oh, this is something needs to be done. I'm going to write a strongly worded letter. I mean, come on.
Texans make a cut yesterday, playing the hits, Aaron in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Chris Landrum. I guess he's been on the team since 2018.
Who?
Chris Landrum.
Who?
2018, he's been here. I don't know. Could you pick Chris Landrum in a lineup?
Nope.
No idea who Chris Landrum is.
Who?
But wish him the best, Chris Landrum.
I guess, you know, he was one of those guys they thought had a chance and then figured out he didn't.
Yeah, don't have any idea who that is. An Astros player opts out. Joe Smith, an arm for the Astros, has opted out of the 2020 season. Here's J.J. Watt with Mike Florio last week talking about players being criticized if they decide to sit out their 2020 seasons.
There shouldn't be a stigma if you do choose to opt out. If there is a legitimate reason for you to be opting out and you don't feel comfortable, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your family, you're making the best decision for yourself and for your family. If we ever get to the point where we're shaming people for dropping out of a sport because they want to protect the health of their family, then we're in a tough spot.
This is what I've been saying the whole time. If these players don't want to play, then that's fine. Don't play. I don't think it's their decision. A lot of them have the luxury financially to not do so. And if they want to leave that much money on the table and they have that luxury, I don't see how anyone can criticize their personal choice.
Exactly. I mean, what are we doing? We talked about it yesterday. I'm amazed that people are even allowing their minds to go there. You know, that all of a sudden that there is that there is some sort of it's a testament to your willingness to play or your toughness or your manlyhood. Get out of here, man. Everyone is different. Everyone loves their families, you know, and whatever your priority is, you go. You do what you want to do.
On the text line, as we play the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, talking about the Madden ratings, someone's saying it might have to do with lack of sports. Wrong. When Nuke Hopkins got the 99 last year.
We was talking about this last year.
We were talking about this last year. The Madden ratings, it might be a new time. It might drive you crazy. You might not understand, you know, why it is a thing. It's a thing. It has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the slow time in sports. I promise you.
Remember,
it's a new
Baker
big deal.
And Deshaun had the same ratings?
Yeah, and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It is 100% a big deal.
Yeah.
OG. Lance McCullers, by the way, he might be Bill O'Brien's favorite Houston Astro. Did you know that?
Really?
You've heard what Bill O'Brien has raved about this offseason. What's
I know where you're going with
what's
this.
What's the most fascinating thing that Bill O'Brien has raved about and brought up unsolicited multiple times?
Oh, man, that garage gym.
Well, here's Lance McCullers yesterday talking about how he's been staying in shape.
With the, I'll call it, unique circumstances we've been dealing with, I'm really happy with where I'm at. A couple of things to clean up, but other than that, I'm feeling great.
He said he had a garage gym. We missed that one. But Lance McCullers does have a garage gym. He's been staying in shape. Your reaction, OG?
I'm impressed. I think he could probably play guard for the Texans at this point.
Or center?
Or center. Or,
I don't think he's going to take that spot. By the way, the Astros, they're allowing fans to pay $100 for cardboard cutouts.
Oh, I love this. I've been telling
sit in
you,
their
dude.
Seat this season. As if the pumped-in crowd noise was not enough.
Are you ready?
Come on now.
Are you ready to apologize
now
to
we're
me?
Doing cardboard cutouts?
I'm taking your apology right now. Are you ready? I said yesterday I like the crowd noise. I think it adds to the atmosphere, and I'm down with the cardboard cutouts. It's for charity too, man.
Okay. All right. So we're going to have fake noise. We're going to have cardboard cutouts. Awesome, dude. What else we got? I mean, we're not even trying to make games realistic anymore.
They are absolutely realistic.
The atmosphere is part of the game watching experience.
And that's why they're piping it in.
But if the crowd is hype, you feel that the crowd is hype. If the crowd isn't hype, you feel on the TV that the crowd isn't hype. Now all of a sudden, we're being jamokes and we're putting fake crowd noise in there and we're putting fake people in there. Like, what are we doing? We're turning into like serial killers that sit there and talk to ourselves. In basements or something like that. I'm just trying to watch the ball game and get an accurate representation of what the scene's like. There's no
you
fans
are.
Right now, so I don't need the fans. I don't need cardboard cutouts. I don't need fake noise. Give me an accurate representation of the damn game.
One of the most important people in the broadcast now is going to be the crowd noise guy. And I don't know if that's his title or whatever.
Gosh.
No, because like, you know, yesterday we played the kind of the murmur, right? The kind of white noise of the crowd, you know, ambient noise or you know, everybody, we played that. When there's a hit, we need to hear, you know, that guy needs to hit a button where it's like, hey, you know, or whatever it may be. No, that's a big part. And the cardboard cutouts is good. This is all good, Landry.
All right.
Come on now.
Cool. I mean, fake crowd noise, cardboard cutouts, whatever. That's awesome. Lance McCullers, how are you feeling?
With the, I'll call it, unique circumstances we've been dealing with. I'm really happy with where I'm at. A couple of things to clean up, but other than that, I'm feeling great.
I have confidence in Lance McCullers, but not total confidence just because of the year off, right? You know, I feel like Verlander and Greinke are going to go out there and just ball. I mean, just absolutely ball. I want to see, I've got confidence in McCullers, but you take that time off, it's going to affect you. It doesn't matter who you are.
Here's a back and forth with Adam Spillane talking about how McCullers feels. We're 9 days away from the Astros starting the season. Here's McCullers talking about how he feels with SportsRadio610.com's Adam Spillane.
Is that how you would normally feel 10 days before the start of the season?
I'm sorry, ask it again, Adam.
the way you feel today, yeah. is that how you would normally feel 10 days before the start of the season?
That's a good question. I know every spring training has its different, you know, ups and downs, you know. But I do recall some spring trainings coming out of it, definitely starting the season a little bit on the more sore side, or I don't quite feel as ready. And sometimes come out of camp and you feel extremely ready. So, but I do feel very good right now. Overall, my body is probably, this is the best I've felt coming out of a camp.
That's good to hear.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good. But that's a really good question, too. By our guy Adam, who's really, really good with the Astros, well, Rockets too, but because you know, they have these habits, these that they do every year, you know, kind of the stages they go in, you know, what stage do you feel like you're in right now is basically the point. I like that.
There's something that happened yesterday that's not getting a lot of attention that I think is, it would be
nobody's
encouraging if it works out. Yes, something nobody's talking about.
Nobody's talking about guys.
Kyle Tucker played some first base. There's been talks about him playing outfield, but Kyle Tucker playing some first base. If he could be that left-handed bat at first base, or maybe you could even put him in the outfield whenever, if he starts hitting, that could be a very encouraging thing. And with every single Astros starting outfielder a free agent, you know, you wonder if Tucker could fill in there. Yuli Gurriel's 35 years old. So what if Tucker becomes a good first baseman and you still have that bat and you can still bring back some of these outfielders? I think that's something to keep an eye on very closely. It's easy to get exciting about the pitchers, but if Kyle Tucker can play his way into being a good first baseman, you might have your first baseman of the future on the roster right now.
Yeah, because who knows? It also made me think about who knows with Yordan now. Well, you know, what are you going to do with Yordan? Just especially now that there's going to be a DH in both leagues. You know, is Yordan just going to be a DH? I mean, is that his job now?
Yes, he's my big pop. He is David Ortiz. He is not. He doesn't even need to own a glove. Yordan, you don't need a glove. Just bring the bat, carry the bat around like Pedro Serrano in Major League. And let's get back. But first, they need his ass to get there because there is still no Yordan Alvarez, still no Jose Urquidy, but the Houston Astros will be on the field in 9 days. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. James Harden has arrived. The Astros are about to arrive, and the clock is ticking in the NFL. A stacked lunch hour of In the Loop begins next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.